small in numbers, but we are mighty. I just like that cadence. And when she said that, come on, we're just setting that cadence again tonight. Our drum beat that we're going to march to for the rest of this week and this weekend. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run full cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise testimony. Come together, sons and daughters, walk with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. What He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I testify. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. You're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Come on, do you believe that tonight? Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ. I'm not dead, you're not done. Come on, y'all are breathing in here tonight. So greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, it's my testimony. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Is your faithfulness enough? but God's still faithful. Quit worrying about empty seats. You're worried about them, and start asking God to fill them.
sing that chorus again.
And great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun till the setting sun, we'll praise your name.
To worship you tonight. God, I pray that our eyes and our ears are open to the word that you have for us. God, that we're able to receive and apply and put it into practice. We just thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus.
So since we're still here in this atmosphere, I got two prayer requests that I got sent. So we're going to pray for those now. We're still going to pray for any more afterwards. So, but the ones I got are from Candy Keller and one for Haley Smith. Candy has bronchitis and an ear infection, so we're going to pray for that. Haley Smith is dealing with some heart issues, and they were at the doctors. They said there's two options first, so we're going to pray that they pick option one because it's better, and that's what they're believing for, so we're going to put our faith with that. And then there's one more, Candy Dre and her son Brett. They All right, so we're going to pray for those three. So, Father God, I just bring Candy Keller, Haley Smith, and Candy Dre and her son Brett up to you, Father God. I just thank you that you touch Miss Candy Keller's body, Father God, from the tip of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God, that you heal this bronchitis and the ear infection, Lord God. I thank you that even as she goes to bed tonight, Father God, and she wakes up in the morning, she's going to start to feel just that much better, Lord God. And I thank you for touching her, Father God. And Father, I pray for Haley Smith that right now, as they're in the hospital, Lord God, that you are just touching and working on her heart, Father God, that when they go in to get the check, Father God, and they see what kind of operation they're going to try to do, Father, I thank you that it's going to be the lesser of the two, Father God, that it's going to be a quick and painless situation, Father God, that she just gets in and out, Lord God, and you heal her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, and you heal her to the point where it's almost as if she has a brand new heart, Father God. And Lord, I just pray for Candy's son Brett, Lord God, as he is being put on hospice, Father, that you just break up that whole situation, Lord God, that whatever it is, Father, that's holding him, Lord God, that you just come and you knock it out, Father God. I thank you that you break any hold that the devil has in that area, in that situation, Father God. And I pray for a miracle. I pray for a healing touch, Father, and I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have a couple announcements. The first Saturday and... trying to remember what date it is. The 4th? No, February 4th. You're starting to get like my mom, Linda. But February 4th is the women's breakfast. So, did I do so? Okay, it's working. Stop playing with the microphone. So, any ladies that haven't been, I encourage you guys to go because... from the sounds of it, it sounds like they have a great time in the Word, but they also get to eat good food. And then on the 18th is the men's breakfast. And I'm not exactly sure what the plan is. So I'm going to wait until My parents come back and they'll give you details on that. But the men's breakfast is the third Saturday. And then Mark Dunphy will be here on February 9th. If you've been here when he's here, you know that the power of God enters. And it's a great time. And he's a funny guy. If you have not been here, I encourage you to get here because it'll be a great message and it'll be a timely message for you. So, with all that being done, as Jason Kearns comes up here to do the offering and give the message, we are going to release the kids to learn from Caleb. So.
Well, hello. We'll start off tonight. I want to remind us why we give. We give because, A, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And B, you just open up doors in your life when you find yourself to be a cheerful giver. So let's go to Luke 6, 38, where Jesus is teaching about, first off, judging others in 37, but then he goes down to 38 and he says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And we also see in Acts where he's talking about Paul's teaching that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we also can run into 2 Corinthians where Paul's talking about how Jesus said that it's better to be a cheerful giver. So if your heart's in the right spot as you're given, then you're going to be open to what it is. Don't come up with the mindset that if I give, then I'm just going to have everything poured into me. Given the mindset that it's now time to give unto the Lord. It's a blessed thing to give to the Lord. It's a blessed thing to give. So just focus on that as we're walking into this, and just bring it up. Just be cheerful with it. Be happy that you have that blessing in your life to give out. Have it in your heart, not just to give out here, but to give to others. You know, Jesus even gives the commandment that once you've done it to the least of them, you've done it to him. So be able to give, be willing to give, and just find yourself as you give, you're going to be open to receive to give more. And that's just that. That's God's math. That's not mine. I don't know how he does his math, because he also says that one will pray, he'll put 1,000 to flight, and two will put 10,000 to flight. And that's his math. Again, I don't get it. I just trust it. So with that, we're going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, God, for the opportunity to give. We thank you, God, that we can give out of a cheerful heart, and we can give and sow into the ministry and sow into the things of the kingdom. We thank you, Father, for all you do. We ask you, Lord, to bless where we need blessed and help us as we grow. In Jesus' name, amen. So, that being said and done, I just want to thank you all for being here tonight. All right, no, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about what are your weights. You know, Bible teaches us, well, we'll get into that, but we're talking about W-E-I-G-H-T-S. What are your weights? Now we'll go to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." So we all carry weights in our lives. We don't always recognize what those weights or the traumas or past hurts can be. You know, these past traumas and these hurts can stun us from growing. They can keep us from achieving that next level that God's trying to get us to. You know, as we know, the word tells us that we change from glory to glory. We grow in all things, and if we're doing it right, then we're going to have these weights in our lives start to fall off. So those of us that know what our weights are, we need to work those out. We need to acknowledge them, take them before the Lord, and lay them aside. You know, because first off, it becomes a sin if you don't. Now, they alone won't hinder your salvation. Your weights won't hinder your salvation because Jesus paid for that on the cross. It says so right here. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." You know, he took on everything that we needed. He took it all. He got rid of that stuff for us. Well, now we have to acknowledge the fact that we have weights and we have things in our lives, sins, that cause us to be stunted in that. So I got a couple different examples here. There are some weights that are bound by sin. They have sin attached to them. A good example of that would be something like pornography. Because you have a weight and a hurt in your life that leads you to think that you need to look at this and you need to acknowledge the pornography in your life, that is a weight that is causing sin. Now, the other option of that is that, you know, God has led you to lay it aside. You know what it is. He's spoken to you and he says, "Hey, get rid of that junk. Throw it off, go before the altar, go to the altar and go before me and get rid of it." You know, James 4:17, it teaches us that to do good, or to know, the word teaches us that to know to do good and to do it not, it is a sin. So if you know that you have these sins in your life, or these weights in your life that lead to sin, or these weights that that are just weights in general that keep you from growing, then you now know that you need to lay them aside. And to know that you have to lay them aside and not do it, that's going to become a sin to you. See, we tend to hold on to things, people, and habits because it's comfortable. You know, the meme. I got to go back to this meme, man. You say it all the time when you're talking about it, about the little girl holding on to the teddy bear, the raggedy old teddy bear. Jesus just wants to bless her with something better. He's got a big old teddy bear just waiting for her, just waiting for her to let go of that little thing that she's holding on to. Now, obviously, we're not all holding on to a raggedy little teddy bear, but we're holding on to those hurts because they're comfortable. We hold on to pains because they're comfortable. I know that sounds odd, but it's true. We hold on to them because we don't know how else to get rid of it. It brings us some kind of comfort. It brings us some kind of relaxation or some kind of understanding as to, okay, I must be a wretched man. I still hold on to this. I still have this. So because it brings you that comfort to your past hurts, your pains, and your hang-ups, you don't want to let it go. But what we may be waiting for when we let it go might be so much greater than what we're actually thinking is good for us right then and there. You know, Logan said this one time in a podcast about this. This has a point right here. I'm sorry. But he said it one time in a podcast about how you hold on to something because it makes you feel comfortable, but at the same time, it's dragging you down. It's causing you more hurt than you realize. You think that it's okay that, it's just a little thing. It's not something big. It's not something that's causing me any kind of grief, but it actually is because it's keeping you from growing. It's keeping you from achieving that next level that God's trying to get you to. Again, we change from glory to glory. Now, you let him take a hold of that, let God take a hold of that, and just give it up. You know, sometimes it's hard to. Sometimes it's hard to acknowledge it. It's hard to acknowledge that you're wrong. Let's face it. Some people have a hard time saying that I was wrong. I'm sorry. But when Jesus already paid the price for it, why not just give it to him? Now, this isn't about trying to lay burdens on anybody. It's actually the opposite. This is supposed to free you of your burden. And when you lay aside your weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, it's going to lay aside that burden that makes you feel like you're weak, like you can't do it, like you're not enough. Now, let's jump over to Luke. I've got them all labeled here. I'm going to go to chapter 9, verse 62. Now, Jesus says that no man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And you see, you don't want to be weighed down by your past fun. You know, I put that in air quotes, because the Bible does teach us that there is pleasure in sin for a season. There's joy in it. You have something in that that says, okay, this was good, I liked it. But the problem is that after you know that it's a sin to do it, you got to let it go. You got to take that out of you, and you have to give it to Jesus. He already paid the price for it anyway. What's the point in holding on to it? What's the point in keeping that in your life and allowing that to bring you back down to that place of a mental stunt? Now, I wanted to say something else, but it wasn't PC, but it does. It brings you down to a stunt in your mind that makes you think that, well, this is okay. I'm okay with this. Now you've justified. You've justified a sin as opposed to allowing God to take it out of you, allowing God to fix that. Jesus said that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible does, again, teach us that there is pleasure in sin for a season. But Jesus was speaking to those that he had asked to follow him. If you put yourself to work in the kingdom, right here Luke 9:62, you put yourself to work in the kingdom, or rather when you put yourself to work in the kingdom, not if, but when, then you need to be so dog-nosed about it. Be so focused on it that you're going to get it done no matter what, that you're not worried about the sin that held you once before. You're not worried about those weights that drag you back, that keep you stunted, that keep you from reaching and achieving what God's trying to do in your life. And it's not just for you that he's trying to do it for. It's not your anointing that you're walking in for you. You're walking in it for the people that you encountered at work, at school, amongst the people at the gym, you know, the grocery store even. Those people are the ones that God has placed in your life for a reason. Now, the thought here goes into when you plow a row in the field and you look back, you're not going to keep that straight line. You're not going to keep focused on the fact that you're going to get to the end of that field. You're going to be everywhere with it. You know, you're not going to have a straight row that's going to be planted in what God's trying to do in your life. You're going to end up unfocused. But it's also speaking that if you look back in life that you once had, the enticing things of it that once held you, it's going to be easier for you to grab hold of those things. You're going to go back to them because now you're focusing on them. You're focusing on, oh man, you know, I had this over here and it was so good. You know, whatever your sin may be, I'm not going to play a blame game on your sin. Sorry, I got to take a drink. It is very hot up here. It's the lights, I promise. Now, the Bible also teaches us that once you're cleansed of your sin and you've got your heart all cleaned up, you got to beware lest your sin comes back and it finds it empty and ready for more. It's going to come back into your heart and it's going to bring seven other things with it. It's seven worse things. That's how the Bible describes it. Now, I don't want you to get caught up on that because we're not trying to get that burden left on us. We're trying to get past that. We're trying to get past the thought that, you know, if I go back to this, it's going to be worse. We're actually going to focus on the fact that we're not going to even worry about it. We've already laid it at the cross. Jesus already died for it, so why go back to it? Why let it come back to you, or why take it back up? Now we're going to jump over to Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. He says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, oof, man, that's speaking right to us right now. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, some people are weighed down with not having enough in their lives. They feel like, oh, I'm not achieving enough. I'm not getting enough done. I'm not going to get to that next place where, you know, the lifestyles of the rich and famous are, right? And the problem is with that is that you're no longer looking at the fact that Jesus is the one that has made the path straight for you. You're looking at the fact that I just don't have enough. And he says right here, what does it profit you? What does it profit you to hold on to the weight of not enough? You are enough, right? Jesus said you are, at least so much so that he went and died on a cross for you. I mean, that would make you enough, right? I mean, it does for me. Now, sorry. I have like a book of notes up here, and I just want to make sure that I'm hitting everything. Now, workaholics have that kind of a weight too, right? Because they have to work all the time because they have to make sure that they have enough to provide for. They have enough for their family. They have enough for themselves. They have enough in their bank. But the problem with a workaholic is if you're so focused on getting things done in the natural, you're not getting anything done in the spiritual. So you're holding on to the weight of, okay, I've got to get this done. I've got to make sure that this job is finished. And you're not focusing on the fact that Jesus is trying to move you along to something different because there's a better blessing in it. You know, just because you feel like you need to work 24 hours in a week, or I'm sorry, in a day, oh, 24 hours in a week would be great. You know, but just because you're focused on that, you're not going to achieve anything. You're actually going to work yourself to death. You're going to put too much burden and too much pressure on yourself that you're not going to be able to function in anything else in this world. Because your heart and your mind is not going to be focused on where it should be. You know, what's it worth? What do you think your soul is worth? You know, think about that. What do you think it's worth? Is it worth holding on to those things? Is it worth holding on to the little weights of this world, the little weights of your own life? Is it worth holding on to the intricate little minute details that you think are so important to you? It's not. It really isn't. If you try to weigh everything that you're holding on to in your life in this secular world against what Jesus has tried to do for you, you're honestly not going to get anything accomplished in your own life. You're going to spin your wheels. Don't get me wrong. You can work, you know, so much that you've got so much in the bank, but at what cost? To what extent do you have that much? You know, it's not going to bring any joy to you because you're going to be so pressured and so weighed down by the fact that you have to get stuff done. You have to be so minded on the things of this world. You know, not because you, I'm sorry. I got to jump back up. We as believers can say, well, I have given my life to God, following Jesus to heaven, but you still hold on to the things of this world. You hold on to the hurts and the pains and the desires, the lusts, or whatever you might hold on to, those weights that so easily beset you. Those are those things that you don't think are going to harm you because, oh, it's just a little thing. It's not that big of a deal. But the problem is, it's keeping you from growing. It's keeping you from doing kingdom work. It's keeping you from, I'm not going to say that. It's keeping you from doing what God has called you in your life to do. Again, I'm not trying to lay any burdens on anybody tonight. I want you guys to understand that once you let things go, once you let go of the desires and the hopes that you have for yourself and you start thinking about, okay, God, what is your will for my life? What is it that you're asking of me to do? Once you start focusing on that, you're going to have the joy and the peace and the hope and everything that comes with that. You know, obviously, you're going to have that long suffering. That's a thing. It really is. But at the same time, at the end of that long suffering, there is joy unspeakable. There is so much joy in the end of that road. You know, so lay aside the fact that you're not there yet. Lay aside the fact that, well, I want this, but it hasn't came yet. Just forget about it. Because once you start forgetting about it, it's not a pressure in your mind anymore. It's not something that you're going to focus on constantly. It's not something that's going to consume your thought process. Let's go to Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Now this is Jesus speaking because, you know, words in red is what Jesus said. It means it's more important than anything I'm going to say. I heard that, Philip. It says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account for, therefore in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Backbiting. Whoo! Backbiting is actually a weight because you don't realize that you get involved in it once you start getting involved in it. You know, somebody just mindlessly comes up to you and starts complaining about something. The next thing you know, you're complaining with them. The next thing you know, you guys are talking about a person and everything and a situation. And it just escalates. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I mean, why would you want to add more weight to somebody else by talking about them, or even weight to yourself by talking about them or taking on that care and that concern? It's not going to do any good for you. You're not going to end up finding any joy in talking about them. Because I've heard it said many times that if you think that it's okay to talk about somebody, just realize that there's people talking about you too. Take that into consideration. What kind of weight is that? Because now you're thinking about, okay, what are people going to talk about me? What are they going to say about me behind my back? And they do. Let's be honest, they do. Most of my haters, man, they got a whole mouthful to say about me. And I'm okay with that. It doesn't change who I am because Jesus is the one that changes who I am. He's the one that shows me how to focus and how to get myself in the right place and the right mindset. So I'm not worried about what people say. Therefore, I'm not worried about saying anything about other people. If I'm not edifying them or lifting them up, I don't want that weight on me. I don't want to take on that concern. And don't get me wrong, there's a difference between talking with somebody for counseling or talking with somebody because they're your friend and they need somebody just to vent to about, hey man, I just don't know how to do this. But if you're not taking them back to the Word of God and you're not focusing them back to where Jesus said, hey, lay it all before me. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. If you're not taking them back to that, then you're indulging in that backbiting. You're indulging in gossip. I mean, let's face it, that's gossip. And I'm sorry, y'all ain't gossip girls. I ain't never seen it. It just felt good to say. I don't know. If you put yourself to work in the kingdom, oh, I'm sorry, that wrong page. Now, what if every single word you say in passing with somebody, or in anger, or in judgment of someone, even in ignorance, were laid out in front of you? Would you be happy about what you've said? Because there's going to come a time in judgment where that does happen. The Bible teaches us that. Every idle word that we've said, everything that we've taken in account for ourselves, everything we've spoken over other people, is going to come back to us. We're going to know what it is, even if it's something flippant. Something like, oh, yeah, such and such is just, they just been ignorant. You know, I'll bless their heart. Yeah, honestly, you got to take account for that. It's going to be written down, and you're going to have to defend it or deny it or whatever. But the truth is that when the angel wrote it down for you, it was sealed, and it's going to be before you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, Logan. I hope you guys still love me. Remember, it's not about trying to burden you guys. You know, fortunately, though, if we have breath in our body and we want to start right now, we can go, we can repent. We don't have to stay in all this. We don't have to worry about all this stuff that I'm trying to bring out to you guys. Because truthfully, Jesus doesn't want us to be burdened with it. He doesn't want us to stay focused on it. He wants us to lay it before him. He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. I'm really wondering what this is about because I really feel like I just offended you. I'm sorry, brother. Oh, fair enough. That makes more sense. All right, let's go to Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a young man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Oh, man. Okay, so this is a lot to read. I'm really not going to read it all, but you all know the concept, right? So one guy, he had the most, he went and he put it to work, and he come back and he got so much more, he doubled it. He doubled the money that the guy gave him. Second guy took his talent, and he went and he put it to work, and he doubled that money. And the third guy, he was a little crybaby, and he went and hit it. And he put it in the ground, and he says, I'm not going to even worry about it because he's an austere man, and he will hurt me if I lose his money or I lose his talent. Now, your weights are going to hinder your talents. And like it or not, they will. They'll hinder what you're going to do. Now, the proverb goes on to talk about the fact that I will jump down here to it. 28, it says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whew, man, could you imagine now if your weight is keeping you from achieving the talent that God has given you, keeping you from getting to that next level that God's trying to achieve in your life? Could you imagine if that cost you so much that you're cast into outer darkness because of it? Again, where's the profit? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Again, I promise there's purpose to me holding the ball. Now, what if you get to heaven and you find out that you were wanting because you hid your talent? What does it profit? I only want to bring this scripture to challenge you because we do it often. We hold on to our talents because of the weights that we're holding on to. Because of the fact that I'm not good enough, or I'm ashamed of what I've done before. I'm ashamed how people will look at me and how they'll judge me and what they'll say. Man, don't worry about other people. Focus on Jesus. Because once you're focused on him, once you're focused on the fact that he is asking you to lay aside every weight and sin, and you're letting him take care of the rest of it, then nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how Sister Sally Sue is going to judge you. It really doesn't. Because she ain't going to hold your salvation up. You know, not unless you let her. Not unless you get so focused and so bent out of shape because she had something bad to say about you. It's not going to hinder you. Make sure that your identity issues are settled. I would settle them tonight. I would, if I were any of you guys, and I am all of you guys at the same time, because you're my brothers and sisters. But if I were you, I would settle your identity right now. Settle the fact that you are enough. I'm sorry, Philip, you can't. Because Jesus said you're enough. You're good enough. You're smart enough. You know what? You're good looking. Don't worry about what the devil's trying to tell you. The enemy of your soul wants you to get focused on the wrong things. That weight that you hold on to that makes you think that you're not enough, and sometimes it is real weight, let's be honest, but those weights that you hold on to that make you feel like that, there's nothing but the enemy trying to lie to you and deceive you and make you feel like, you know what, this will never happen for me. I'll never get to where I'm supposed to go. I'll never accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish. But Jesus said you are enough. And we know this because he died for us. We know this because he gave all for us. He suffered a horrible death so that you wouldn't have to feel the weights and the burdens of your own sin and your own misgivings and your own past. Again, these things that we deal with sometimes are things that have been endued in us from young. Like we just little kids, man, somebody come up and said something to us and made us feel some type of way. And now we can't help but focus on that. We can't help but make that something that changes us. But Jesus is asking us to get rid of it because he already said you're enough. He already said that you don't need to focus on those things. Again, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Start at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For a man, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're going to focus there for a minute. We're going to go to 10, but let's stay here for a second. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, I'm not talking about work that leads to salvation, because let's get this settled right now. There is no work that we do that leads us to salvation. The only thing that we can do is present ourselves to Jesus, confess our sins, ask him for forgiveness, and allow him to lead us in righteousness, because he's already paid the price. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Anything else is futile. As a matter of fact, if you could have done it that way, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He'd already be up on a throne just waiting. It's like, all right, these guys got it. That's not the case. God said, man, they're not going to get it. There ain't enough rams in this world to slaughter, to sacrifice, that's going to save them. So I got to give my son. I've got to give myself so that they can be saved. That's the work that we need to focus on. Now, our works that we do are what we're commanded to do. The talents, the gifting, the calling in our lives. But we can't do it if we're allowing the burdens and the weights of this world to hold us down, to keep us from focusing on the fact that we can achieve. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can achieve the things that God is giving us in our lives if we're following after his will, if our hearts are right. I heard this the other day, and it was revelatory to me. It says that you can ask what you will and you shall receive it, right? That's the word of God. But the truth is that you have to have your heart right. You have to have the mind of God and be in the will of God to be able to ask what you will and have it accomplished in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that, okay, again, we see it later in, I believe it's James, where it says that you have not because you ask not, because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lusts. You know, if we're thinking that in a secular way, if we have not gotten rid of the burdens and the thought process that changes or that makes us think that this is what we need, this is what we desire, then what we ask for will not come to us. Will not be accomplished in us because, again, Jesus said that he'll have us to prosper even as our soul prospers. You know, but again, there's the limit to that is that if we're not focusing on God and we're not giving ourselves over to his will and we're not allowing him to change us, and we're not laying aside every weight and sin and running patience the race that's set before us, then we're not going to receive those things. We're not, because the simple fact is that we're asking for things that are going to kill us. We're asking for things that we think are good for us, but at the same time, it's that raggedy teddy bear. It's like, God, just fix this raggedy teddy bear for me. Just let it keep going until I get to that next mile mark. Just let it keep up until I get to that next point. But the truth is that once you let go of those things that you're holding on to so tightly because you feel like it's what you need, then God can come in and say, now that you've allowed that false God to go, that idol, now I can come in and I can fix you and I can change it and I can allow the things that I want to have happen to you happen. Sorry, guys. I'm very thirsty tonight. Now, we're going to go up here. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, there are weights and there are sins in our lives that sometimes we just don't know how to get over. We don't know how to let them go. We don't know how to fix that issue. And we've taken it to the Lord and we've asked God so many times, like, Lord, take this from me. I need it gone. But at the same time, we still want to grab it back up because, hey, it brought comfort and it brought peace. A good way to fix that is to go to your brother or go to your sister. Go to somebody that you know and you trust and that you know will pray for you and will help you get through things. Not, again, it's not to gossip about the fact that you're going through something. And again, if somebody comes to you with something like that, don't ever take that to anybody else other than God. That is the only person you should be taking that before. Now, there is a covenant between a man and a wife, and they help pray, and they do that sort of thing. And we're not trying to touch that. We're talking about the fact that if I come to you, Brandon, and I have an issue, and I don't know how to pray for it proper, but you struggled with that same issue once before. You struggled with it. You had this weight in your life, and you knew that the way you got rid of it was you said, God, show me X, Y, and Z. And you were able to accomplish it that way. Then I want to come to you because you have a path that has been set. You have a path that has been proven to be worthwhile. So now I'm going to come and I'm going to ask Brandon, please pray with me for this. Help me. How did you overcome? You know, because I know that, A, Brandon's not going to run to, you know, Brother Timbo. I don't know. Again, fake name. He's not going to run to him and tell him everything that I'm going through. Like, oh, look at this filthy man. Look what he's doing. Look at all this garbage he's got in his life. Because I trust Brandon. I trust him. I know him. I've come to a place where I know that if I unburden myself to him, it's going to one place and one place alone. It's going to the throne of God. You know, and we'll have a discussion about it. We'll get over it. Yada, yada. And that's a way to get rid of a burden and a weight. You go to your brothers and your sisters that you can trust. But again, this here is for those that are hearing this. I'm going to run back here to the chapter 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, think of that. If you're going to your brother, or if, let's say your brother comes to you, or a sister, we're not going to be one-sided here, but let's say that they come to you and they want to unburden themselves with this because they don't know how to pray for themselves proper. Don't throw it in their face. Don't judge them for it. Take it where it needs to go. Don't allow that to become a backbiting situation. Don't allow that to become a thing that oh man, you're never going to believe what he's up to. No. There's no profit in that. You're bringing that same judgment back to you. You know, Jesus tells us way back in Luke, he says, judge not that ye be not judged. You know, so whatever you're going to throw a judgment out at somebody, just remember that, how they used to, you point a finger at somebody, you got three more pointing back at you. You know, I know it's different, but it's the same concept. You're going to allow that judgment to come back to you, and then you might fall to that same temptation. Sorry, guys, that was way off on everything I had written down here. Oh, I'm on a different page. Don't be weary in this either, guys. Don't be wearied down by the fact that you have these burdens or these weights, because that in itself is going to cause even more burden upon you. Don't focus so much on the fact that I got to get rid of this out of my life. I mean, obviously you want to focus on it because you need to get rid of it, but don't let it consume you. Don't let it be something that, you know, every other thing that you're trying to do or every other thing that God's trying to do in you gets muted out. It becomes null and void because now you're just focusing on the wrong thing over and over again. You know, wait for God because he will bring that outcome. He's already done it. I mean, let's go back to Daniel for a minute. I'm not going to turn there, but Daniel was praying and he's asking the Lord, you know, when are you going to bring my people back home? You know, when are you going to do this? When's this going to happen? He's taking the window and he's throwing it open every day and he's praying before God. And the angel of the Lord finally shows up, even though Daniel's going back to the throne of God, going back and giving it to God, going back and saying, why is this not happening? Even though he didn't see the results of his prayer right then and there, the angel came and told him, he says, man, we already accomplished it, but we got buffeted way back here by the devil. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you to achieve the things that God wants you to achieve. He wants to halt you and stop you from getting to that next level. So you got to allow God the time to work out in his time. At the same time, keep going to the altar. Keep taking it before the Lord and saying, okay, God, I'm not going to do this, but help me in my unbelief. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-8 says that one will plant, one will water, and a God who gives the increase. Now, that's not one for you guys to turn to. I'm sorry. It was just a... So don't be so focused on the fact that, oh, I'm not seeing the results coming. You know, like, I want my daughter in church. I do. With all my heart, I want her to lay aside the weights of this world and come back to where she needs to be. But I already know that God's already moving because it's a promise that he made. He said that if you raise a child up in the way that they should go, they will not depart from it. But be warned, because that goes the other way too. If you raise your child up in the way that of the world, they're going to go the way of the world. Plain and simple. You know, you got to show them the right biblical standards to live by for them to end up walking out that scripture, live out that scripture. But again, that's not to add more weight to you. That's for you to have the joy and the peace knowing that God is going to accomplish those things. Just because you've planted the seed and somebody else is watering the seed doesn't mean that God's not moving in that increase. So don't be weighed down by the fact that you're not seeing a result that you feel like you should be seeing. Lay that aside. Lay down those weights and those burdens. Let's go to James 5. And this just goes back into lifting the weight off of you. 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if there's any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Again, once you have in your heart to know that this is a weight and this is something I need to let go of, now you can go to your brother and you can say, okay, brother, I need help in this prayer. Sister, I need you to pray for this. I need you to lay aside with me, fast with me, go to war with me because I can't do it alone. Now you've confessed your faults to your brother. Now your brother's going to lift you up if your brother is a spiritual brother, obviously. You're not going to go to a random brother out on the street saying, hey, man, I got to unburden myself. Can you help me with this? He's going to say, yep, let's go to the bar. And that's not what you want to do. You don't want to add a sin or another weight back into your life. You're trying to get rid of a weight and a sin. But that is a weightlifter, though. Once you've confessed it and asked for prayer, it helps and it seems lighter. It seems to release something off of you. It will seem less burdensome of a task to lay aside that weight. It'll seem like, okay, now I've got somebody that's going to help me lift that off of me, to lay it down before the throne. Lay it down and give it up. Just like, you know, like I said before, going to somebody and asking for help is not, it's not a sin. It's not a sin to go to somebody just because you don't have it. Again, though, if anybody comes to you in this, keep your mouth shut about it. You know, don't go and blab about it. Now I'm going to go to my conclusion, and this is my question to each of you. What is your weight? Again, I don't need to know what your W-E-I-G-H-T is, but I want to know what your W-A-I-T is. What's your weight? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on to lay aside those things that are causing you to be stunted? What are you waiting on to keep you from growing and keep you from getting to a new level with God? And what is it that causes you to think that, well, I got a little more time? You know, what is that? I don't need to know. Honestly, you may not even know. It may be something you need to go to the Lord for. And you need to say, hey, God, I don't know what this weight is that's keeping me from doing something, but clean it out of me. Heal a brokenness that's inside of me that I don't know how to heal. Fix that little patched up spot that needs to be fixed up because I can't do it. And then again, if you need to, go to a brother, go to a sister, say, help me pray. Help me get rid of this. Now that you have a clear understanding of what your weights are, or you know what you're going to have to do to get rid of your weights, maybe you don't have that clear understanding. That's fine. Again, take it to the Lord and seek Him for what it might be, because He definitely has the answer to that question. He definitely does, and He wants to tell you. The truth is, you might find after you've taken it to the Lord and He reveals to you what that weight was, that you already knew what it was. You already knew that that weight was something that you were holding on to, but you didn't understand it as a weight. You didn't understand what it was doing to you. You didn't understand that it was keeping you held back. You didn't understand that because you're holding so tight to it, you can't grip or you can't reach out for Jesus' hand. You can't allow Him to pick you up out of the water because you're holding so tightly to the side of the rail. And that's a bad analogy, I think. I don't know. But again, the ball has a purpose. I really wasn't going to do this. You know, I was like, yeah, that's kind of silly. But then last night, because I was like, I don't even know where the ball's at. Last night I was getting into bed, and I kicked as I was getting in bed, and this ball come rolling out from under the bed. And the reason that I wanted to bring this ball is because it does illustrate everything that I'm trying to tell you right now. This weight right here, this it seems like it's nothing, right? It's a little bouncy ball. But if I'm holding on to this so tightly, I can't reach out for somebody else. I can't give myself over to help somebody, to help pick somebody up off the ground, because I'm holding on to a small weight. I can't open my hand or lift it for praise because I'm holding so hard to that small little weight, that small little thing that seems so insignificant, so futile. Cast it to your brothers. Ask for help. No man's an island. We're not intended to do this alone. We come together as a community, right? We're here as a church community. We're not just here because we want to fill the seats. We're here because somebody's got something that I need. I've got something that somebody else needs. And the truth is, if you're holding on to the things that you're supposed to let go of, you can't accomplish the things that you're supposed to do. And I know that was a roundabout way to tell you guys just to let go and let God. But that's the truth of it. He's got better intentions for you than you have for yourself. Because He knows more. He knows better. And He has a way that seems right. Or a way that is right, I'm sorry. Now, we have a way that seems right, but the end thereof is destruction and death. But Jesus has the right path. So I urge you guys, find out what your weights are. Find out what's holding you back. And let God take it. Let Him fix you. Let him take the little pains out, the stresses of this world, the things that cause you to grieve, the things that make you hold on to the ways of this world. Because the ways of this world are going to bring you to death. The ways of this world, it's just getting worse. It's all getting worse. There's so much destruction in this world that you got to let it go. Be so focused on Jesus that the things out in the world don't matter as much. I mean, I'm not telling you to be naive. I'm not telling you to stick your head in the sand and just let the whole thing go to crud. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you to focus more on Jesus than you do the things that are holding you back. Because once you do, you're going to get to that next level. You're going to step into that new realm. And you might just be the person that's going to lay hands on the sick, see him recovered. You might be the person that is able and capable of reaching out to my daughter. I might be the person that's able to reach out to yours. But if I'm holding on to my own problems, nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to sit in it. I'm going to stew over it. And I'm going to allow the cares of the world to drag me back into the world. Lay them aside. Let Jesus take care of it. Thank you, guys. All right, that being said, are there any prayer requests online? Haley and Phil. Okay, so let's pray for Haley. You might be the one that's got the right words. So pray for her earnestly. Pray for her effectively. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we speak to this heart issue right now. We command it to be healed in the name of Jesus, and we command healing to be all over Haley. We speak over Phil, and we speak over Haley, and we speak over Braden, that you would lift them up right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and give them hope. Hope in a time of despair. Give them peace that passes all understanding. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that we lift up, and we thank you, Father, for them to be in part of our life. We ask your hand to be upon them in Jesus' mighty name. And God, as we dismiss tonight, I ask you to go with each and every one of us. See us home, God. Weather may be frightful outside, but you're still in charge of the storm. You can still calm the seas. We thank you, Father, for safe travels. And we thank you, God, for taking care of the small needs as well as the big. Help us to lay aside everything and run with patience the race that is set before us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You're dismissed.